Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
You could be, if you could not be here, is watching online. And so get your Bible out, open the notes on your phone, and get ready for God to speak a life-transforming word. And I believe that God can be in that apartment. God can be in that house, at your job, in your car, just like he's here today. And so we believe that miracles are happening, and we want them to happen wherever you're watching from. But we'd love to see you Wednesday night, 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. We're glad you're in the room today. We're going to jump right back into Soul Detox in just a moment. But we want to encourage you, 1 week from today is Team Sunday. So wear your Living Way gear. But not only that, if you are not a part of Living Way, our family yet, you have not gone through our short class on the first Sunday of each month, we'd love to introduce you to some of our team. We'd love to meet you. Mandy and I will be there. We'd love to connect and tell you a little bit of our heart, but also get you not only joined to the church, but serving and helping us reach our city for Jesus. And so if you're not yet a part of a team and you want to join a team, that Sunday's for you. If you're not a part of the family and you're ready to join the family, that Sunday is for you. We're going to have a great, great time. Stand on your feet as we go to the 51st Psalm. As you're doing that, turn to your neighbor and tell him, keep your hopes up. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him, get your hopes up. 6 weeks from today is Easter Sunday, and it is going to be a big weekend at Living Way. Saturday, April 8th, we've got the Texas-sized Easter egg hunt, over 15,000 candy-filled eggs, and we got face painting and balloon animals and piñatas and raspas and chalupa. No, just kidding. No chalupas. Well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe. But everything that day is free. We'd love for you guys to show up and invite your friends. Invite the community. Sometimes it is a little better to get them used to being around us at an event like that, because they get in a Holy Ghost service, it might be a little too much too soon. And so just get them on the campus, and then we're going to invite them to Sunday at Living Way, Easter Sunday, April 9th. Catalyst Kids will be ministering. We've got a special, special presentation, and I believe that so many are going to be saved. Remember Christmas, 124, I believe it was, said yes to Jesus on Christmas Sunday, and I'm believing God's going to do something like that on Easter Sunday. Psalm 51, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop. This is what David said. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. One more time, turn to your neighbor and tell him, if it's not from God, I don't want it. One more time, if it's not from God, I don't want it. You may be seated. Great crowd today. Thank you so much for joining us, and I encourage you. As I sat down to go over my notes yesterday afternoon in the office, I switched next week with this week because God said that there's somebody that needs to hear next week's today, not only because they're going to need it this week, but they might not be here next week. And so I'm obedient, and I flipped it. So this week is next week. Next week is this week. But we're going to be going to John chapter 15 here in just a moment, but we're talking about a soul detox. How many of you know that there's some things in your life that need to change? If your hand is not up, I have been sent to tell you there's some things in your life that need to change. There's some things in my life that needs to change. Every day, we must take inventory of what's going on in us. You know, so many of us are geared to what we're going to do, but what you're going to do is directly shaped by what's going on internally. And so that was a good place to say amen. A lot of times we don't get the job done because we're not right internally. And so the outward expression externally is not what it should be. And so but more than God doing something for us, my prayer is God do something in us. Not God do something for me this week, God do something in me. Can I just tell you this, that maybe if God did something in you, he wouldn't have to do something for you because you could do it for yourself. Let me say that again. Maybe if we ask God to do something in us, he wouldn't have to do something for us, because once he does something in us, we could get up and do it for ourselves. For those of you that are new, there's four answers to every prayer you pray. Yes, no, wait, and get up and do it yourself. Don't waste your time or God's time praying for prayers that you can accomplish. God, help me lose weight. God didn't help you gain it. God's not going to help me lose it. God helped me work out. God wasn't the one who signed your life over to Gold's Gym, $75 a month, just so you could go sit in the sauna and massage chairs. You can go put a quarter in at the mall and get the massage. Don't waste the $75. I'm preaching to myself now. My God. There's a lot of things. I'm guilty of that. I know that there's a lot of times I've prayed for things and God is saying, Brandon, you can do that. I've given you the power to do that. The only time you need to bring me into that mix is when there is something that you cannot do that is impossible, and I will come and do that. And so my prayer is always, God, do something in me, not do something for me. The 51st Psalm where David is saying, God, clean me up, purge me, take away those things from the inside that are not of you, wash me so that I might be white as snow. Last week, we talked that is a penitential psalm. It is a psalm of repentance after David had his affair with Bathsheba and killed her husband. It is a time and a place of expressing repentance. And we talked that repentance is not a dirty word. Repentance is not a bitter pill to swallow. Repentance is as sweet as honey because you get the sin out of your life. You get the weight off of your shoulders. That thing you've been carrying with and struggling to carry through life. God said, hey, I'll take that. All you need to do is repent of whatever you did that brought that weight into your life. So we started talking about the three things in Psalm 51 that transformed David's life. The number one thing is he recognized the sin in his life. He recognized that there was some imperfect places. Remember that it is expressed in the New Testament that we have weights and sin that hinder our walk with God. Now, sin is anything that separates you from God. But weight can be anything that keeps you from walking in faith the life that God has called you to walk. And so he recognizes in his life that I have sinned against God. But we also talk that he did not recognize that by himself, that Nathan, the prophet, confronted David over his sin. Confrontation always leads to change. Either you will change your character like David did and keep the kingdom, or you will not change your character like Saul when he was confronted and lose your position. I would rather change who I am and keep what God is doing in my life than to say, God, I'm not going to change, and God say, well, I can't have you here and I can't allow you to do this. But the second thing that David did out of the three is he assigned blame to himself. He blamed himself. Church, this is going to be a hard one to hear. If your life is messed up, it's no one else's fault but yours. Well, you don't know what he did to me. I don't, but I do know that you picked him. You stayed with him. You listened to him. You knew he wasn't right, and you had more than one baby with him. You picked her. You found her in the club. She cheated on her then boyfriend with you. What makes you think she's going to be faithful to you? And if she can't be faithful to someone she can see, how is she going to be faithful to a God that she can't see? A lot of the problems, most of the problems, all of my problems, I can point back to me. David blamed himself. When you play the blame game, everyone loses. You can ask Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. And God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? And Adam said, the woman you put me with here. Ooh. He's really not even blaming Eve here. He's blaming God. He said, it's the woman you gave me, God. He said, it's the woman you created, God. He said, it wasn't my fault. It was the woman you put here with me. She gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what have you done? The woman said, it's the serpent that deceived me, and I ate it. What would have happened in our world if Adam would have said, God, I take the blame. I wasn't the husband I should be in that moment. I wasn't leading in that moment. I didn't tell the devil, get thee behind me in that moment. I didn't tell him to get under my feet in that moment. Can I encourage you, if we will walk along with God, if we will live with God according to his word, we won't have to blame anyone, because when the devil shows up with a piece of fruit from a tree that God told us to stay away from, we can say, hey, that's not for my life. God said no, so I'm going to say no, and I'm going to tell you that you don't have any right authority, and there's no reason for you to even be here, and send him on his way. And even if Adam had had a weak moment, where is Eve in this? We're talking about women empowerment all the time. If you're hooked up to a man that won't lead, ladies, you have to lead. And Eve could have stood up and said, I know Adam. I've always said it like this. Sometimes I don't think God made Eve out of Adam's rib. I think he made Eve out of Adam's back, because Adam didn't have a backbone. But when Adam doesn't step up, Eve should have been able to step up and say, I don't know what my husband's doing, but I do know what God said. And what God said is what we stand on, because if we don't do what God says, there's something going to happen inside of us that's not going to allow us. Remember, they were confronted. Here it is again, confronted by God. Instead of repenting, instead of saying, God, detox my soul, instead of saying, purge me, clean me up, instead of saying any of that, they played the blame game. And God said, all right, Adam, all right, Eve, if I can't change your character, I'll change your position. You can't stay in paradise anymore. He takes away their position, but I love this, and I preached this in a series last year. He took away their position. He took away paradise, but God never took his presence. God will never take his presence away from you. You might be demoted. You might not be where you want to be. You might not be where you used to be, but I do know this, church, that we are standing in the presence of God, and sin might separate you from God, but God is always there, ready for someone to say, I'm sorry, ready for someone to say, I repent, ready for someone to say, God, Friday I messed up, and I'm not going to stand here Sunday like I'm an angel. I'm going to make sure that I get a hold of the altar and say, God, I've sinned against you. Clean me up and make it to where I don't want to do this anymore. Somebody say, he blamed the wrong person. Number three, David asked for divine forgiveness. And the subtitle of this point is, God always forgives. Psalm 32:5 is another penitential psalm when David says this, then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. They might not forgive you. She might not forgive you. He might not forgive you, but God always forgives you. And he's not waiting to thump you on the head. He is saying, what is separated from us is hurting you. And if you will ask for forgiveness, I will bring all I am right back into your life. And where you struggled, I'm going to give you power in that struggle. Where your weakness, my strength becomes greater in that weakness. And so when you bring God into the equation through forgiveness, things change. We must realize this. And when God gave me this, I had to think about this for a few moments and make sure that I was writing it down right. We must realize we do not sin against people. We sin against God. We hurt people. We disappoint people. In some ways, our actions literally destroy people, but we do not sin against people. We can only sin against God. We ask God for forgiveness for sinning against him. We ask people for forgiveness for hurting them. Check this out. That is why it is so powerful that God always forgives. This is why it cannot be sin against people, and you can only sin against God, because God cannot depend on other people to forgive you. God said, I'm the only one that can forgive you, will forgive you, wants to forgive you. I'm the only one that sent my son to die a bloody death to pay for all of your transgressions. I will forgive you of your sins, People may or may not forgive you for hurting them. That is why when you ask someone for forgiveness or you apologize to someone, they do not have to accept it. They do not have to receive it. Why? Because you're not asking them to forgive your sin. You're asking them forgiveness for you hurting them. But if they say no, hey, that monkey is off of your back, and now you can be what God has called you to be. I want to help somebody today that you stuck out the olive branch in 2022 and they threw it on the ground. That you took the knife that they put in your back and you handed it back to them and they threw it on the ground. I'm here to help somebody and relieve that pressure. They don't have to receive it. They don't have to say it for it to take effect in your life. Why? Because if God forgive your sin, that's all that matters. They don't have to forgive the hurt. Many times when I've been in the wrong, and I've been in the wrong more times than I would like to admit, and I fire off a text or I make a phone call to someone and say, hey, I was out of line in this situation. Hey, I shouldn't have said that. Hey, my flesh got the best of me. Whatever my expression of forgiveness is, I've had people leave me on red. And I was hoping for it's all water under the bridge, no worries, let's continue to build kingdom. But you know, a couple hours goes by and they don't respond. A couple days goes by and they don't respond. The old me, the immature me, it would say, well, I take that back. I don't mean it. But the new me says, hey, you don't have to accept it for it to work in my life. Why? Because your acceptance or denial of me asking for forgiveness for hurting you is nothing in comparison to me coming to the throne room of God and saying, God, I have messed up. God, I shouldn't have said that, done that, went there. I'm sorry for how all of this happened. I need you to forgive me. And God says, you are forgiven. You get to start a new chapter. You get to start a new volume. You get a fresh slate. Aren't you glad that God always forgives? For those of you that need a soul detox, sinning against God affects your eternity. Hurting people only affects your time on earth. Some of us have been wanting, desiring at a level that, man, I want that relationship with them to be fixed. It's not like it used to be. Can I flip the script on you and tell you that that's the desire that God wants for you? I know you want to be good with them, but make sure you're good with God. Make sure you're good with Him. Make sure that that is the strongest relationship. I know in 20 years of marriage, I know when Mandy's mad at me. She doesn't have to say any words. And I know that sometimes when we've had discussions, the texts aren't as jovial as they normally are. The little smiley face with the hard eyes isn't coming through. It's just responses like, K. The letter K, not even okay. And I want that relationship, and I'll just tell you from the men's perspective, because that's all I know. We get mad, and it blows over very quickly, and we just want everything to go back to pre-fight. But those ladies, they need an apology. They need you to understand why it went south, what part you played in it going south. And sometimes they don't want to look at you, smell you, or touch you for a few hours. Give them their space. And I'm like, hey, it's all back to normal. Let's go have lunch. Let's eat. Let's go to a movie. And we laugh. But our earthly relationships, man, I wish it was like it was. Well, can I encourage you that some of us spend more time trying to build the bridges and the breaches that are in our lives with people when God is saying, hey, there's been a breach between us for 60 days that you haven't thought about. There's some things that you've done, and I know that you think the heavens are closed. The heavens aren't closed, but listen, we've got some things we've got to fix before I can favor. Let me say that again. You keep asking for favor, but there's some things that we need to fix before I can favor you. Well, how do we fix them? Well, once you repent and say, God, purge me. Take those things out of me. God, I'm sorry for dropping the ball in this instance. He says, all right, you are forgiven. Now let's go eat. Let's go to a movie. Praise God. Sinning against God affects my eternity. Hurting people affects my time here on earth. The second thing we're going to dive into here in the last few moments, why every believer must go through the purging process or a soul detox. Every believer, everybody say every. Every believer must go through the purging process. Not only do you and I need to go through the purging process, but I will stand on this hill and preach this until my last breath. We need to surround ourselves with purged people. You can, amen, 10 people got it. The rest of you going to get it. I'm sure at home they're amening right now. But I'm here to tell you, you can purge your life every day. But if you surround yourself with unpurged people, if you surround yourself with people that are rotten on the inside, if you surround yourself with godless people, if you surround yourself with negative people, if you surround yourself with lust-filled people, it doesn't matter how much you clean yourself out. The Bible says if you don't fill yourself up, that the seven times worse comes back to the person that has been delivered. I'm here to tell you, I'm making sure that I'm going through the purging process every day, but I want to encourage you. I'm making sure that the people closest to me in my life, that every one of them is living a life that is holy and acceptable to God. Why? Because my marriage, my family, my money, my ministry, everything that God has for me, even if I'm walking it out, I need to walk with people that are walking it out. Well, Pastor, what about the heathen? Oh, I love them. I minister to them, but I ain't hanging out with them. You said, well, I got to work with these heathens. Yeah, you got to work with the heathens, but every day you should be working on the heathens to see Jesus like you saw him, because we were all heathen. We were all lost. How did most of us in this room did not have God appear as an angel in the clouds preaching the gospel to us in our backyard and us hit our knees in the backyard and say yes to Jesus? Most of us were on a college campus with a ministry, somebody preaching. We went to a worship service. We were watching Christian television. We came to a church like this. And what happened? When you got around people that knew what God, who God was and what God was about, it inspired something in you that I know they're not perfect, but it seems like they know God like I don't know God. I want to encourage you, purged people hang out with purged people. I never have to worry about in my friends group if somebody's going to pull a blunt out. It got quiet. I never have to worry on January 1st, December 31st, New Year's Eve party. I never have to worry about somebody getting drunk and hitting me with a bottle rocket in the side of my head. I never have to worry about somebody coming into my house and messing something up that I've got going on. Why? Because I don't allow people that close to me that will not go through the purging process. And you say, Pastor, you shouldn't judge them. Oh, I'm going to get on that next week. The Bible calls us repeatedly to judge one another. And so I'm here to tell you, I'll minister to people, I'll love people, I'll reach out to people, I'll pray for people, but in my daily walk with God, I got to make sure those that are closest to me are willing to be purged. Somebody say, I'm a purged person. Somebody say, soul detox. Every believer needs to be surrounded with purged people that are willing or actively going through the purging process. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine. If Jesus made sure that he threw that adjective true out there, there's a fake vine. Fake vines produce fake fruit. Or let's just say fake vines produce fakeness. Fake believers. Fake praisers, fake worshipers, fake fasters, fake Bible readers. So what are you talking about? People that give the outward expression that I'm a follower of Jesus. Can I remind you that Judas was always Judas? Feeding of the 5,000? Betraying Judas, handing out bread. Come on now. Jesus is literally calling Lazarus from the grave. I don't know who removed the stone, but he said, hey, remove the stone. Could it be fake Judas is helping the miracle come to pass? Could it be that every person on your road today is not the real thing? Could it be the one that you are trying to get with because they go to church is not the real thing? That's why discernment, it takes discernment. Jesus said, I am the true vine. You've got to be able to discern fake. You've got to be able to discern those that are not actively pruning their lives and walking with God. I've got a couple moments left here. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Knowing where we are, this is such a powerful truth. Knowing where we are in relation to God is important for fruitfulness. I've got good news and bad news for everyone in the room and watching online. You are not God. I am not God. We are not God. You say, why is that bad news? Because some of us act like we're God. You say, oh, I don't act like I'm God. Anytime you make a decision without bringing God into it, you're acting like God. Anytime you make a decision, you choose a choice, you make a choice without first conferring with God, you're acting like God. Oh, I'm bringing God into every decision I make, every investment I make, every trip I plan, I'm bringing God into my life. Knowing where we are in relation to God is important for fruitfulness. God the Father is the gardener. He's the one in charge. He's the one who prunes. He's the one who judges fruitfulness. I ran across a picture. I wish I would have put it on the big screen. Maybe next week. Ran across a picture of Tyler when he was probably, I don't know, 2.5, 3 years old. And his little body with that big head, praise God. No wonder Mandy had to have C-section. Tyler's standing out there with a 5-gallon bucket in his hand. Now, the 5-gallon bucket, like, goes to his head. And he's standing there with it. And my mind, I sent it to our family chat. And everybody was, and Tyler's like, man, what was I thinking trying to help you at that age? And I'm thinking, it's cute, but whenever Tyler went with me when he was 3 years old, it was a waste of time. Because he always tried to help me. And in helping me at 2, he always made a bigger mess. And I couldn't focus on what I was doing because I was always having to help him. Let me remind you, Jesus is the true vine. God is the gardener. We are the branches. When you try to help God do the gardener's job, you make a mess of things. And God has to spend up extra time cleaning up the mess I made trying to help him. Can I encourage you? And if you don't take anything else from today, take this. Let God be God. Let God do what only God can do. I'll do the possible. God, I'm giving you room to do the impossible. God, I'm going to do my best to take in the right nutrients so I can produce fruit. But God, I'm going to let you prune my life. God, you want that relationship to go away? Bye-bye. God, you want me to make this move? I'm on the move. God, I'm going to let you be the gardener. God, I'm going to let you flow through the vine, Jesus. God, I'm going to do my job and just produce fruit. Check this out. When somebody comes by my life and grabs an apple and they eat that apple or they make an apple pie and they come back to me and they say, ooh, that apple was good. I'm going to say, it wasn't me. I'm connected to the vine. It's the gardener in my life. Without him, without being connected to Jesus, I cannot produce anything good. So a soul detox happens when we get connected to the right thing and the right person. And once God starts flowing through us, once his Holy Spirit starts flowing through us, what was is no longer there. Where we were struggling is no longer there. It's just like if you put a dirty cup or bowl in your sink and you begin to run water in it. It might take 2 or 3 minutes, but if you come back, that dirty cup now has filtered all of those things. Why? Because it had something fresh flowing in it. If you were here on Wednesday night, we had a fresh flow for 2 hours. At 9:30, 9:45, people still in the altar almost 3 hours after service. Why? Because they said, God, there's some things in my life that ain't right. There's some things in my life that need to change. And so, God, I give you permission over the next time, over the next hour, over the next 2 weeks, over the rest of my life, flow in me to filter out the toxic things that the devil has done his best to put in me. Stand on your feet. I am the true vine, Jesus said. God is the gardener. Verse 2. God cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit. That's a tough one to take. God cuts off every branch. People say all the time, and I understand what they're saying, and I hope that I can bring clarity to what I'm saying in the next 60 seconds. I've been known to say for the last 23 years that I've been preaching, you got to be able to cut people out of your life. And people will say to me, oh, you can't do that. That's just too cold. You can't just cut people off like that. God's talking about cutting them off of the kingdom. I'm just talking about your life. Jesus said, no fruit, cut them off. From kingdom. I'm just saying your life. If you've got a friend that doesn't bear fruits of the Spirit, cut them off. Oh, that's cold. No, it's biblical. And here we get into a little of next week. You call it judgment. I call it fruit inspection. I'm not judging you by what's there. Ooh. I'm judging you by what's not there. And when I don't see in you what God needs to see in me, I can do bad all by myself. I can't get people that think like me, run like me, that feed my flesh. I've got to get surrounded by people who don't mind going through a soul detox. I've got friends from high school, y'all. They've been to rehab 5, 6, 7 times. And I've talked to them about it. And everyone calls me Fender. They said, Fender, I don't think I can go back to rehab. I said, no, you need to go back to rehab. Well, I've already been 6 times. The 7th's going to be the charm. Keep going back. Keep going back. Well, Pastor, the same people keep coming to the altar. I don't care if you answer every altar call from here until Jesus comes back. If you need this altar, that's why we built this altar. Come to this altar. We're looking for fruit. He is the vine. God is the gardener. We are the branches. God is looking for fruit. And God is looking for fruit, not for him, but he's saying your fruitfulness is what's going to bring people to Jesus. What they see God do through you. So I open the altar right now for those of you. God complex aside. True vine aside. We're not the truth. Fakeness aside. This is a moment for us to say, God, I'm ready to be fruitful. God, I'm ready to go through detox. God, I'm ready to go through the purging process. God, I'm ready to connect to the true vine. God, I'm ready to let the gardener put his hands in and on my life. God bless you, young men. God bless you, young ladies. Seeing new faces, seeing leaders in this altar, it blesses me. This is your moment. This is your moment.